Good morning to you all. This is Brother Wilmer Kaufman here again this morning with the morning devotional. My number is 484-919-8850. Looking at what Jesus said here, he said he didn't come to take the law away, but he came to fulfill it. In Matthew 5:27-30, I would like to take a look at that this morning. You know, there's so many things that the law could not satisfy and didn't satisfy. And Jesus came along and he didn't change the law. He didn't change God's law. In fact, God's law cannot be changed. There are laws that are put in place by God in our spiritual lives that will not be changed. They will never be changed. And Jesus didn't come to change these laws, but he came to fulfill them. Just one simple thing for us to think about in the physical. If we are up on a house top, on a house roof, and we walk off the edge, we won't be going up. We will be going down. The law of gravity is in place, and that law of gravity was put in place by God, and I don't see him changing that. So the same is in the spiritual, in our hearts, the laws in our hearts. For us to live what God really experienced, what God really intended for us to experience, the laws in our hearts have to match the laws of God's laws. If the laws in our hearts are not matching with the laws in God's word, there'll be a conflict, and we will not be able to experience what God really intended for us to experience. Here in Matthew 5:27-30, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old to me, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell." The verses that I read here this morning, seemingly in the natural, are pretty well straightforward. There's what meets the eye here is pretty well explained. But I guess, like some of the other mornings, I would like to take this a little further here, and maybe stretch us to think and to see some things in a different light, and to see, I would just like to stretch us here this morning in an other direction here, but the same thing. I see it very, I find it very fascinating that Jesus, here in a few short verses, he said what he did. And it's so clear. And yet, there's so many things that he was talking about. You could take these few verses and you could probably preach 10, 20, 30 messages on all the different aspects here of these few verses. And I find that so interesting. But the thing that really fascinates me here is he used a subject that we understand. If nothing else, we can simply understand what he said here in a few verses. But I'd like to take this a little further. It says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a verse in Proverbs here that says, but whoso, and this is in Proverbs 6:32, but whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. And we know for a fact that that is a very devastating thing. It's a very devastating sin. And when we look at this and we look at the adultery part of this, we might be able to say, well, that simply does not apply to me. That is not for me. But I'd like to take this a little bit further here this morning. I believe this goes a lot further than just adultery. It goes on to say here, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In other words, he looked onto something that was not his own. And because of that, things were already changing in his heart and soul. And we might be saying, well, this just doesn't apply to me today. This is not where I'm at today. But let me just ask you a question. Is there something that your neighbor has, or somebody else has, somebody in your church has, or somebody that your friend has that you would like to have? It may be a car. It may be a horse and buggy. It may be the second home in the mountains. It might be a ranch. It might be an ATV that your friend has on his ranch. Or there may be things that you are lusting after. The word lust here, the reason many times that lusting is connected to adultery is because even in Jesus' time, a lot of time lusting was connected to adultery or fornication or that that type of thing. But when we read the scriptures and we continue to look, we realize that lusting has the same meaning as coveting. When we lust after something, it does not necessarily mean that it's in the sexual way, but it is lusting after, it's lusting or coveting something that's rightfully not mine. It's somebody else's and it's not mine. And if we start to broaden our mind here this morning a little bit on these verses, and we allow ourselves to think in a deeper way, Jesus, what I find so interesting here is he's saying that if someone or if a man looks after a woman and he lusts after her, he has already committed adultery in his heart. The people were astounded at the authority that Jesus spoke. But he said, I didn't come to take away or change one little bit of the law, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, he's coming here with a teaching that goes a lot deeper than just the law. In that day, the people were so tired of the law, the 1, 2, 3 step. step number one, step number two, step number three, and seeing all the hypocrisy going on. The law was being kept right to, it was being kept religiously, but the heart was as dark as anything. Their hearts were deceitful and they were full of hypocrisy, and it was disgusting, just as it is today. It is still disgusting. We can even take scripture and follow it, step one, step two, step three, and the heart is still not right. Is that we need to go deeper than it's a relationship with the Lord. It's seeing things in His way, and it's recognizing the damage that it does to our lives spiritually and physically and emotionally if we go our own way. And if we do it God's way, how much healthier we can be spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The people were just astounded at His authority. They knew it was wrong to be in adultery. They knew that. But to hear these fresh words, to hear this in a new light, He was speaking in a new tongue. He was teaching in a new way. It was taking their thoughts and beyond anything that they had thought about so far. And they were astounded. They were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just something for us to consider here. It goes on to say, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And I don't know what that does for you, but this really requires to read more than what we can read here, if that makes any sense. We need to be able to read deeper than what it reads here, because you and I both know, and we have too much proof, that when a person dies, he needs to be buried in a certain amount of days, or things become very ugly and smelly, and it is necessary for us to recognize here that Jesus is talking about something deeper here. Because we know that the body will be put into the ground. After the person dies, the body will be put into the ground, and that body will rot. That body will not go into hell. So what is he saying? There's this story that has been told about a guy that had trouble in this very area. It was lusting after women. So he decided to take this verse literally. So taking whatever he needed to do it, he plucked out his one eye, only to discover that nothing really changed in his heart. And I think we all understand that. I think we understand that that is not necessarily the problem. It's a heart problem. But he's saying that it would be profitable for one of our members should perish here, and that not our whole body should be cast into hell. I think in Mark 9:43-48, it explains it a little bit better here, or maybe a deeper here. It says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." I guess for we can understand that contentment and godliness is great gain. To walk in a clear way in this world and to be godly and to be content is great gain. And we know that. If we walk through this world, while the short time that we live here in discontentment, we're continually wanting more. Maybe we want the second home. Maybe we just want something inside of our home. Maybe we want a new car or a better car or a new tool. The list just goes on and on. It could be the second farm, a second home in the mountains, a ranch, vehicles, tools, equipment. The list goes on and on. If we live in discontentment, it will rob us. It will destroy our soul. It will destroy our soul here and after this life as well. You know, when I imagine that there's probably people going to be in hell that didn't even know there was a hell. But for those of us that know that there's a hell, and we know there's a better way, and we know that we should not be walking in discontentment, but that we should be walking in godliness and contentment and in the joy of the Lord, and we don't. I think for a person that ends up in hell, I think the fire there is hot. I believe Scripture tells us that much. I think the fire is extremely hot. And I don't think it'll ever stop. And I think that in itself is going to be great torture. But I think there's a greater torture than that yet. And that is that there is nothing of God there. There's not a blade of grass there. There's not a leaf there. There's not a tree there. There's no vehicle there. There's no ranch there. There's no flowers there. There's no coffee there. There's no water there. There's no refrigerator there. There's no easy chair there. There's no carpet there. There's no concrete there. There is nothing of God there. There's just a vast emptiness. And I think that is going to be far worse than the heat. But I think there's something that's going to be even worse than that. And that is when we remember, that is when a person remembers that he walked in discontentment. He walked in something that he knew at the time that wasn't right. And the person will remember that. I think that's what it means by that worm. It's talking about where the worm dieth not. In other words, I believe what it's saying when it's telling us to cut off a hand, I think he's telling us to really get violent about some of these things in our life. We need to come to a place where we hate discontentment. We need to hate it with a passion, and it needs to be cut off. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be taken care of. And that's why Jesus died. He came. He died. It was the power that held him to the cross is the power that we need to get rid of some of these things in our lives, such as discontentment, which really lusting comes from discontentment. The root of lusting is discontentment. So, to bring a closure here this morning, just would like to encourage myself, first of all, and then all of you, that we could walk today with the things that the Lord has for us today, full of the joy of the Lord. And if discontentment is robbing us from that joy, yes, there's always people around us that have it better than what we do. And there's always people around us with toys. And the list goes on and on, things that we could use so well. But can we be content today? I don't think contentment means to passively sit down and do nothing. I think we need to do our part in moving on. But I think it's very necessary that we have a clear heart so that when we move on, that we move on in the right direction. Lord, help us. Jesus, help us. God bless you.